on tax, so it won't feel so separate. You should have told me that my fly is open. Okay. Since everybody stared at me, that'd be quite embarrassing. Okay, everyone without a sense of humor, leave. You're in the wrong class. You're innocent. Okay, I'm doing a little short meditation to kind of get centered and to allow the rest of my higher self to arrive, since it doesn't hang around that much. It's on the way, I promise you. If it wasn't for that clog on I-70, it would have been here, you know. But it keeps my higher self from getting here on time. It's all because of the traffic. How many of y'all have lost your higher self in traffic? You had like a spiritual, like, giant, like somebody pulled out in front of you. Oh, gone for it. I'm crying hard. Okay. So here comes the meditation. And it's going to be a meditation that has to do with wealth and abundance. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Seems like some of us have been successfully afraid of our wealth. So I like you, like, just let it in. So try to let it in. I'm going to share with you some attracting qualities, and I'm going to share with you some repelling qualities. The attracting quality is honoring your word and time. The attractive quality is honoring your word and time. Repelling quality is not honoring your word and not honoring your time. An attracting quality is giving and receiving freely. You have to give and receive 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 freely. You have to open your heart. Open your heart. Open your heart. Open your heart. You have to open your heart.
Dried up, but you want to give it up. And if your juice is dried up and you want
Very mistaken. Just like that. So, we're going to be on page, page 224 in the text. And I'll try to be more authentically myself. That's what I'm working on. Anybody else working on authenticity?
Totally.
Okay, this is an opportunity for you to practice not giving a damn what somebody else thinks. Do you have the guts? Do you have the courage to respond only in the way you want to for now?
Yes.
Only in the way you want to. But if you want, however you want to respond, you'd be willing to respond, even if no one else is responding that way.
Yes.
Like if you hear something that excites you, are you willing to express your excitement, or are you going to hold your excitement back because maybe someone else isn't acting as excited as you are? Revelations are intensely personal to the person who receives them, and everybody might not get the same revelation you do at the same time you do. But I tell you, when you express enthusiasm and appreciation, then it inspires me to want to give more. Are you like that?
Yes.
I'm just like you. But it has to be sincere, right?
Yeah.
All right. From your heart. Okay. I'm going to start with paragraph 4. And I'm going to give you some of the Course in Miracles definitions of these terms. So if you're looking at the page and you see me say a word that's not on the page, like the ego, instead of saying the ego, I say insane mind, then that's what the Course in Miracles definition of it is, to make it easier. So, okay?
Yeah.
So do you realize that you have an insane mind that sets you on a journey which can't but lead to a sense of futility and depression? Don't you realize that you have an insane part of your mind that has set you on a journey which can't but lead to a sense of futility and depression? So you've been on a journey to futility and depression. You have a serious case of fad. Futility and depression. Fad. Now, to seek and not to find is hardly joyous. To keep looking for what you want and not finding it is not a happy experience.
Right.
Well, is this a promise you're going to keep? Are you going to keep looking for love in all the wrong places? Are you going to keep on seeking for stuff and then you think you got it and you think it's real and then something happens to it and it's not there anymore? Aren't you tired of going after stuff and looking like you don't get what you want?
Yeah.
Well, the Course says what you've been doing is you've been keeping a promise. You made a promise to yourself through your insane mind that you were going to seek stuff and never find it. Because a person that's as low down as you doesn't deserve to have wonderful things. That's what the insane, fearful part of the mind says. You're not good enough to get the things that you want. So it sends you on a journey where you constantly seek for stuff, but you don't get it because you're keeping a promise to yourself to keep on seeking stuff and not finding it. Sounds insane because it is. But the results in your life should be showing you the truth of the premise.
For sure.
That you have sought and not found. Now, but I never thought that I was not finding because I was keeping a promise. I thought I wasn't finding because I was not keeping a promise. I thought I hadn't kept the promise to myself, and that's why I don't have what I think I want sometimes. And the Course says, no, it's just the opposite. You made a promise to yourself to seek it and not find it. Because anybody that's full of guilt or fear, whatever part of that mind is that's full of guilt, fear, anger, and grievances, that's the part of the mind that guarantees that you'll seek what you're looking for and not find it. So whatever part of your mind is full of anger, guilt, grievances, and attack, that's the part of your mind that's trying to keep the promise that you'll seek for stuff and not find it. So the angrier you are, the less you'll find what you're seeking. Because what you're really seeking is peace, and you're certainly unhaving it if you're angry. Sorry. So there's no way you can be angry and be peaceful. I tried it, haven't you? So it's not like I'm talking about speculation, right? Okay. So then the Course says, and just keep reading with me, you see this right now, but let's talk about the Holy Spirit. I like to talk about the Holy Spirit. Now, what is the Holy Spirit? The Course says the Holy Spirit is our right-mindedness. that the Holy Spirit is our sane mind. It's the part of us that knows the truth. It's the part of us that's in touch with our Creator, but also aware of the stuff that we go through every day. The Holy Spirit is the mediator between the truth as it was created by the Creator and the illusion that we make up to keep ourselves upset, to keep the promise of seeking and not finding. So the part of me that's sane is called what? The Holy Spirit. Okay, so that's the part of my mind that loves me. And there is a part of me that loves me, and the Course calls that the Holy Spirit. And there's a part of me that thinks I'm not enough, and the Course in Miracles calls that the ego. And I think everybody here has one.
Yeah.
If you say you don't, you lied. Okay, now. Because everybody else here got one, what you doing around us? You that special? I'm glad I got an ego. I'm proud. What about you? I'm proud of my ego. It successfully kept me from having what I wanted all the time. It's like, who says I can't be successful at something? I am very successful. I love it. We were reading in another class. Of course, I like the way the Holy Spirit kind of cracks on us, talks about us, but does it in such a sweet way we just laugh. You know, like it says that we pursue our goal with fanatic insistence, and that our judgment is severely impaired but completely consistent. So all day long, I have completely consistent, severely impaired, fanatically insistent judgment. That I'm consistent in my erroneous judgments, completely. I keep them going all the time. And what's the main erroneous judgment that we keep going all the time? The Course says the main erroneous judgment that we keep going all the time is something like, if this were different, I would be saved. If this were different, I would be happy. If this out here changed, I'd be happy. That's the completely consistent, severely impaired judgment that we keep with a fanatical insistence. If you change, buddy, things will be better for me. If you change, things... See, I'm completely consistent. I say that to everybody. Severely impaired because it's not telling me to change at all. Right? And I'm fanatical about it because I'm self-righteous and it really is you. You see what I'm saying? So I'm completely consistent in my severely impaired judgments. And that's what gives us the illusion of stability. We wrong all the time. There's something stable in my life. What? My wrong judgment. I can count on them, man. They're always there. And you too. I'm telling you, the humor of the Course, I call it a joke book from God. And when I come in and I'm quiet, I'm centering myself and letting my fear go, because I always have some fear before speaking. I never, ever not have some fear before speaking. And as a matter of fact, I kind of get wearied when I don't. Because then that might mean I think I know what I'm doing. And so I'm going to stay open, because now I know. You know. Okay. I got my knee up. Now, the part of you that loves you, the Holy Spirit offers you another promise, and a promise that will lead to joy. So I'm your right man, and I'm going to offer you guys a promise. I'm going to offer you a promise that leads to joy. Just pretend I'm your right man talking to you. And there's another part of your mind, this joker called your wrong man, your fearful man. It sets you on a journey that you always look for what you want, but you never find it. Now, when you keep looking for what you want but never find it, it's got to lead you to futility and depression, because it's hardly joyous to keep seeking stuff and not finding it. Is this a promise you want to keep, to keep on seeking stuff and not finding it?
No.
Okay. I was hoping y'all said that. I was praying y'all said that. There's some chairs right there in that hall, little hallway behind that door, too. So it says, your Holy Spirit, which is a part of you that loves you, I'm going to offer you another promise, and I'm going to offer you a promise that leads to joy, because my promise is always seek and you will find. I promise you, I love you. So if you seek, you will find. Because I love you, when you seek, you will find. That's what you're loving. So you have to know when you're listening to your loving self and when you're listening to the self that doesn't love you. Because they both sound like your voice, but they're telling you two different things. So you have to pay attention to the content of the voice and not the sound of it. I could be saying something like, I'm going to kill you tonight. Quiet,
the caustic sound of my voice. You depend on that I'm going to murder you tonight. But if I say, I love you, you know, then you listen to the sound of that voice and you think I don't love you. The content was love, but the voice sounded angry. Sometimes, you know, there's love behind anger. And there's fear behind the expression of it. I'm angry because you won't let me control you. I'm angry because you won't let me control you. You won't do what I say. You won't pay attention to me. So I'm giving all my attention to trying to get something from somebody who seems not to give it to me. Looks like that would lead to futility and depression, which explains why I'm taking all those pills. Okay, so I'm the party that loves you, so I'm going to tell you this. My promise is that you will seek and find, and under my guidance you can't be defeated, because mine is a journey to accomplishment. In other words, I represent the part of you that's the God self, the creative self. And I promise you, this is the way it works. I'm going to set the goal before you, and then I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to set the goal. I'm going to say, hey, the goal is for you to have complete happiness and fulfillment and peace. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to set the goal before you, and then I'm going to give it to you. It's like me saying, do you want a glass of water? And you say yes. And then I said, here. I set the goal before you, and I gave it to you. Would you like to live like that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Would you like to live like that? You have to think about this. Whether you like to be given what you want. Okay? Then it says, for God will never deceive you, whom God loves with the love of the Creator. Your higher self, your spiritual self, will never deceive you. Because I love you, I would never fool you. Because I love you, I would never fool you. Because I love you, I would never deceive you. Because I love you. So the loving part of you says, I'm going to give you a new promise. I know that you're depressed because you've been seeking and not finding, but I'm going to give you a new promise. What I'm going to do is promise you that you will find what you seek. And the reason why you're going to find what you seek, it's because if you will listen to my guidance, you can't be defeated. If you will listen to your higher self, I'm just playing the role of the higher self. I'm not trying to like be your higher self. I can't hardly get to the cleaners. I do not have time to be your higher self. So I'm not trying to control nobody. I'm trying to release everybody. My goal is just the opposite of most people's.
Yeah.
You know, I'm down to one or two people. I thought I had been a failure. I realized I'm an enormous success. I don't really care about what anybody does with one or two people. So everybody else, I'm loving them because I'm freeing them to do what they want to do with their life without me putting attack or guilt on them. So I love you. I love y'all. Y'all can do whatever y'all want to do today to be happy and peaceful. You won't have a problem with me. If you go to bed tonight with every member of the Broncos, male or female, you'll be okay with me. That's all right. I love you. You're free. I want you to do whatever you want to do that's best for you. Okay? Now, the people I haven't forgiven yet, I'm in a personal relationship with them, and I care what they do, and I try to control it. So the people I have not started to love yet are called my personal relationships. Because I am thoroughly invested in their behavior and how it affects me. And I hold grievances against them when they say and do things that I don't like. And if they don't do what I want them to at some level, then I got a grievance I got to go overcome. Mm-hmm. Broken in two by periods when it looks like they're doing what I like to do the way I want it, and I'm really happy. So you have a happy person on your head because you're doing it the way I like. I love you. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know that fake happy love, you know, because they do what you want them to do, now you give them a big kiss. Those are the people I haven't forgiven. And the person I got the greatest grievance against down through ages and ages of lifetimes, that's my most special relationship. So the instant recognition that you had was that you had just come up on your next opportunity to learn forgiveness. It had to be hidden in your attraction, you would have never entered the lesson. That's why it starts out so great, and all of a sudden the cloak is pulled off of it, and you go, oh my God, I got some work to do here. But you wouldn't have got in it in the first place if you hadn't have been fooled. Into seeing, well, really you weren't being fooled, I tell you what happens. At the beginning of every relationship, and you're in that happy phase, whether it's friendship or lovers, you're just seeing the preview of coming attractions. You're seeing the way the relationship is going to be when y'all get sane and let go of your block. So it starts out really, really happy, and you're all understanding, and you give each other unconditional love, and if they make little mistakes, you think it's cute, and, you know, whatever they do is cool, you know, right? And then later on, you start to get irritated. Well, at the beginning, you're seeing the way you're going to be at the end. After you do the work. Or you wouldn't get into the relationship unless you saw what you were trying to achieve. But what happens is we think we're already there, so we get disillusioned when it goes. But the truth is, you were just seeing the coming attraction. Some of y'all are seeing long trailers. Some of y'all saw the 15-second blip. Okay? So pretend I'm your higher self talking to you again. And so when something loves you, or someone loves you, or a voice that loves you is going to always say to you, and mean it, I'm going to help you. Your goal is to love me. Well, I'm going to make it real easy for you, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you my love. And if I give you my love, it makes it really, really easy for you to love me if you want to love me, because I'm going to give you my love. I'm going to give you the goal. I'm going to give it to you. The Course says the problem is when you don't love yourself, you don't know how to respond to love. So when it shows up, when what you want shows up, you're inadequate to respond to it. So you don't recognize it. And so the premise is we're surrounded by everything we want, but we don't recognize it. Because we've been keeping a promise to ourselves to seek and do not find, because we've been taught to feel guilty and sinful. And out of the belief of being guilty and sinful, you set up a reality where you constantly deny yourself what you want in order to punish yourself for your sins and guilts.
Did you say that?
Yes, when you're taught you're sinful and guilty, and that the way that you clear up sin and guilt is through some form of punishment, not receiving what you want all the time is a form of punishment. And so you set it up where you don't get what you want because you don't deserve it, because you're trying to pay off this imaginary guilt and sin debt. And so one part of your mind is trying to save you by never giving you what you want and making you feel guilty and afraid. It somehow thinks when you suffer enough, things will get better for you. Now, the only thing that I see the suffering does is that it sometimes does help a person go ahead and accept their good when it shows up. Because they feel like they suffer so much, they deserve a good relationship after all the ones I've had. See, I've suffered so much, now I can let it in. But the Course is trying to teach us that suffering isn't necessary for you to receive love and peace and what you want because of who you are, because of what created you. Love created you. You were created by an infinitely created love. You were created by a being that's totally loving. And so, therefore, you deserve love and all the benefits of love just because you exist, not because of what you do. You were created to create. You weren't created to see nor do. That's why you get tired, because you weren't made to do. You were made to create. You were made to go, let there be. And it is. Now, the best way to get something immediately is to ask for what you already have. Remember that. That's the key to immediate manifestation. I'd love to have a glass of water. I'd love to have a red car in this room. See, that's how you can tell. When you ask for something that doesn't exist, you can't have it now. When you ask for what does, you can. Remember that. So we spend most of our time asking for what we don't already have, which projects our good into the future, which means not yet. Right? So I want that car in the not yet. I want that incredible relationship in the not yet. I want that job that I've always wanted in the not yet. I'm going to finally be happy in the not yet. So you're always saying, when you're always focused on the future, you're saying to the universe, I want it not yet. 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 See, I want it in the future. Got to have it in the future. See, we can give each other love now. There's nothing to stop us from giving each other love right now. Not sex. Love. They're totally two different things. Obviously, sex isn't love. Look at all the crap we go through because of sex. Okay, misperceptions of sex. It couldn't be love. It had to be neutral. Because some people it's cool, for some people it's not. Whatever it is neutral. That's deep. I'm in a neutral world, but I don't have any neutral thoughts about it. Yeah. You're in a I'm neutral, but you don't have a neutral thought about me. Every one of you have a thought about me, and it's not neutral. isn't that a trip? Now, when you realize that, then that frees me because I realize that, because that means that what you think of me is none of my business.
If I want to stay in my usual optimistic, happy self. You know what I'm saying? If you're feeling real good, don't ask nobody what they think of you. What kind of sense that makes? You people do it all the time. I'm already feeling pretty good about myself, but I need to get your thoughts about the matter. And you may not see me correctly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You might talk about some flaws you see in me that you think I need to do something about. I'm already feeling good. I've already achieved the goal. It's just about me enjoying it. I don't need you to point out my flaws. If they were really jamming me up, I wouldn't be so happy right now. You know, you see what I'm saying? If that flaw was such a big flaw, why am I standing in front of you peaceful and joyous? Obviously, it's not more powerful than the part of me that can stand in front of you and be peaceful and joyous. So don't point out that part. Point out the part of me that stands in front of you that's peaceful and joyous. Uh-huh. Insist on that, because insistence means investment. Whatever you insist on in your life is what you're investing in. You insist on respect, people are investing in respect with you. So you want some investments, right? Yeah. Okay, so when I'm allowed to take this role of your higher self as well as of the ego, it becomes easier to see it in a picture sometimes than trying to read it on a page. For instance, I'm still talking to you, right? I'm your higher self. You will undertake a journey. Sorry, you're on a trip. How did you notice? Didn't you say it was a trip?
Yeah.
It is.
I knew I was tripping.
Okay, that's right. We are tripping. We are tripping. And he says, the reason why you're going to undertake a journey is because you're not at home in this world. Sorry, you're not at home in this world. You're not at home in a perception that causes you fear and pain. You're not at home in any experience that gives you less than complete satisfaction. That is not your home. That is not where you're meant to be. So you're going to take a journey because you're not at home. And guess what? You will search for your home whether you realize where it is or not. Notice I'm searching for love whether I realize where it is or not. I'm searching for abundance whether she says you're going to search for it whether you realize where it is or not. So we're searching for our home, which is peace, whether we realize where it is or not, right? And then it says, well, here's the problem. If you believe that your peace is outside you, the search is going to be futile. So I want to save you some time. I'm your higher self representative. I want to save you guys a little time. If you keep searching for what you want where it isn't, you're not going to find it. For instance, I really want this microphone.
Been looking for the microphone for years, but I'm certain the microphone is over here. I'm certain my happiness is where I've decided it is. I'm certain the microphone is over here, and it's been 10 years, and I'm wondering why I haven't found the microphone. You've been searching for your happiness for 10 years in that situation, in that relationship, in that circumstance. Been searching for months. That's just like me being over here searching for the microphone over here. If it's taking this long to find it, there's a chance it's not there. But how successful would I be if I went to look for the microphone where it is? Could I fail?
So, did I sacrifice my desire for a microphone?
No.
I just ended up finding the microphone where it's located and not where I thought it was.
So that's what he's saying. If you think that your happiness is in anything outside of you ultimately, or that your peace is in anything outside of you, you're gonna be disappointed because it's not there.
That's why we go from person to person and do not find complete satisfaction when we look outside of ourselves, because it's not in them. And we usually try to get into each other's bodies to locate it. Some people think that they're going to have peace if they get in your body. Or to get close to you, intimate with you, whatever, you know. You know what I'm saying? If I can get with you, I'm going to get that specialness that's going to make me complete. So I'm looking for it where it's not located. It's really located inside of me. And I've heard that a million times, but the course kind of qualified it, which made it better for me. It says inside of my mind. Something about that just kind of made it, like, give it a little slight twist. You know, because my opinion about me is located in my mind. And my idea that I'm wonderful and beautiful and special and loved is located in my mind. So the truth is, what I'm looking for you to give me, I could give myself. I could tell myself all the things I wish you all would tell me. And since I'm with me more than I'm with you, that would increase the possibility of my happiness. Not only am I not with you all the time, you don't tell me what I want to hear either. See? So it'd be futile to look for it in you, let alone looking for it in somebody that judges me, criticizes, condemns me, and don't particularly like me. That's really setting it up that I'm not going to get it. Okay? So you with me?
Yeah.
Okay. Then it goes on. Keep following along with me. It says that if you believe it's outside you, the search will be futile, for you will be seeking it where it's not. You do not remember. Ha ha. What'd you say? You do not remember how to look within. You've forgotten how to look within. You know why you don't look within? Because you don't believe it's there. It makes perfect sense. I've forgotten how to look within. Why? Because I don't think anything I want is located inside of me in my mind. So I've forgotten how to look within me and my mind for what I want, because I've forgotten that everything I want is within me and my mind, because I'm used to looking for it in you guys. And so I've forgotten how to look for it inside of me. So when I'm first introduced to the idea of looking inside myself again, it's a kind of a baffling concept. And people go, what do you mean, looking inside yourself? I don't even know what that is. So we say, you don't remember because you haven't done it in such a long time. So you're innocent, you just forgot how to look inside yourself for the things you want. But now you can stop crucifying people for not giving you what they can't give you anyway. And then forgiveness happens. They never betrayed you. The only thing a person can betray is an ideal you make up for them based on what you think your desires are and what you think will make you happy. So therefore, you betrayed me. You follow what I'm saying? You betrayed the ideal I made up for you. You betrayed what I said. And the person said, well, no, you did not. They did not do what they said that they were going to do. They're not going to do what they said they were going to do. So it looks like I was betrayed. Because you didn't do what you said you was going to do. Now, that's true. It would have been nice if you had. But since I don't love myself, I'm going to make sure that I hook up with somebody that's going to seek and not find me. So therefore, there's going to be a person that appears to disappoint me because I'm paying attention to the rule that says I must seek and not find. Because I'm looking for my happiness where it's not located, which is within your actions. So if I think my happiness is within your actions, I'm going to spend all my time trying to control your actions instead of remembering to look within my own mind. So that I can give myself what I'm trying to get you to give me so I can have it immediately.
Thank you.
The minute I have it immediately, the outer always reflects the inner, so therefore I start drawing people to me who appreciate me, because I'm appreciating myself, because this is a mirror of what's going on within my own mind. So the quickest way for me to change my reality is just for me to tell myself new things, and since I'm with me all the time, I'm the best one to do it. I start to be quiet more around other people, because if I talk a whole lot, it's going to inspire them to talk, and then I have to listen to what they think is not what I want to hear. You follow what I'm saying? Because you know the conversation you're going to receive from most of the people you know. That's why you know them.
Yeah.
So you pretty much know what they're going to talk to you about before you even call them. And what I mean by that is what attitude they're going to have in the communication. You know the ones who are typically positive, and you know the ones who are typically negative. So you can tell how you want to feel by who you contact.
Wow.
Before you pick up the phone, you'll know exactly how you want to feel. Now, once you start giving things over to your higher self, don't worry about it. Even if you call the wrong person, your higher self will use that person to tell you something you need to know and be helpful to you anyway. Because you're on a track now that any decision you make will be used for your benefit, even a faulty one. That's what happens when you let the part of you that loves you teach you. It's going to take even your mistakes and make them into a blessing. The part of you that doesn't love you takes your mistakes and crucifies you with them. That's how you can tell when somebody loves you. You make a mistake, they crucify you with it. If you make a mistake and they love you, they use it as an opportunity for them to learn how to love you more. And you're honest enough with yourself to know if you can't pull it off, that you need to withdraw from that person's experience. If you know you can't pull it off, then why you want to stick around so that they can look at how guilty they are just by looking at your face all the time? Who needs that kind of constant reminder? Every time they look at you, you're looking at them like they're crucifying you. You know, that's not a pleasant experience. But I've done it. I want you to be sure you didn't never do that again, so I want you to see exactly how I feel about it. And I don't understand why you don't love me. You don't. Look in the mirror. I want to be a crappy person and everybody treat me good.
Anybody else got that spiritual goal?
Yeah, that's what, you know what I'm saying? I just think that no matter how I act, people ought to just forgive me, be understanding of me, and be loving of me. Even if I don't smile, even if I don't appreciate them, even if I don't tell them how much I love them, I still expect them to really care about me. I really do. They should be glad to be with me. Now, it looks to me like I'm asking for an unconditionally loving person to come into my life. Because they got to be to love me. Because I'm not giving them what I want. See what I mean? So the only way I can have people like that in my life that would love me unconditionally is I have to start loving unconditionally myself. That's how I get them to show up. So then I start taking all the people who seem like they upset me, and I set up the goal for me not being upset with them by letting go of the scripts that I've made up for what they should do, which is what's upset me in the first place. So to love them unconditionally, all I have to do is take off my scripts from them, stop looking for the microphone in them, and then let my higher self tell me where the microphone is located. Not only will my higher self tell me where the microphone of happiness is located, it will hand me the microphone of happiness. All I have to do to receive the microphone of happiness is have a willingness to set the goal that I'm here to show people that it's possible to be happy here. That's what the universe, according to the Course, is asking you to be a witness for the happiness and the peace and the joy of God. So if you say, I'm willing to be a witness for the fact that you can be right here and be happy, then the lessons begin. The happy lessons begin.
Happy learner.
You become, now the first rule of being a happy learner is you have to stop getting upset about making mistakes. Make mistakes, okay, and then you become a happy learner. Making mistakes, okay, and you'll become a happy learner. You hear me? Okay, so if you are afraid to make a mistake, then you're not going to be a happy learner. If you can be happy even though you make a mistake and then turn around and give yourself another chance to do it again, then you will be a happy learner. If you want to be a happy learner, go, I'm going to give it my best shot, and if it don't work out this time, I'm going to try to listen better next time and do it again. Unhappy learner. Oh, I made that mistake. Oh, I'm horrible. I'm pitiful. Nothing ever goes right for me. I should never try again, so the last relationship I had was in 1959. I'm an unhappy learner. I expect to be able to do perfectly that which I'm trying to learn to do. I expect myself to be able to do it perfectly from the very beginning, even though that's what I'm trying to learn to do. I don't know how to bake cakes, but I promise you that if you sit in that kitchen right now, I'll bake a perfect cake. That's where we are. I want to be truthful, and I want to be loving, and I want to have right relationships, and now I crucify myself the rest of the day because I don't pull that off perfectly. It's the same thing. Setting the goal is not mastery of it. Readiness is not mastery. So, okay. I'm your Holy Spirit. If you look outside of yourself for what you're looking for, the search is going to be futile and you won't find it. You don't remember how to look within because you don't believe that what you want is within. Yet, this is the cool part. Guess what? I'll remember it for you. I'm part of you. I'm your higher self. And I'll remember the goal of happiness for you. Is that okay?
Yeah.
You've forgotten how to do it. I'll remember for you. And I'm going to guide you to your home in peace because that's what my mission is. I'm the part of you that loves you. So I'm going to guide you home on your mission because that's why I was created. So there's a part of you that was created to take you to what you want. There was a part of you that was created to take you to what you really want. There was a part of you that was created to take you to what you really want. It remembers everything you've forgotten. I don't remember how to forgive. I do. I don't remember that I'm innocent. I do. I don't remember that I'm not guilty. I do. Don't worry about it, Earl. I'm the part of your mind that remembers. I got you covered, brother. I got your back. There's another part of you that feels like that. Now, I'm identifying with the part of me that thinks it's guilty. So since I'm identifying with the part of me that thinks it's guilty and afraid, it don't even seem like the part of me that loves me exists. It doesn't look like it exists because I'm not identifying with it. I'm identifying with the part of me that thinks that things can't go right. I'm busy. So when somebody talks to me about God or higher self, it sounds like sheerest folly because I'm identifying with the part of me that thinks that things doesn't go right, so I see it that way. But there's another part of me that's remembering what I deserve for me, so even while I'm in my futility and depression, it's still creating good stuff for me that's on the way to me, whether I think I'm making it or not. That's the same response that I was saying. Thank you. But of course, we don't know how to respond to loving thoughts. So when we hear something that's loving, most of us, include me, we can't always respond. This book says that. We hear the loving stuff, we can't respond to it. Notice that. You couldn't imagine anything more loving than being told there's a part of you that loves you and continues to love for you and continues to create love for you even when you don't know it and even when you're upset and even when you think you don't deserve it. And that you're going to receive the benefits of that part of you that's creating for you even though you're busy in your depression and futility. Because just because you're over here in depression and futility, it doesn't mean that this part of you that's not is not busy still creating love and doing cool stuff. Y'all follow me? Yeah. But you're not aware of it. Why? Because I'm over here looking for the microphone in the notebook. I'm busy. When I really want to go away, I'm busy looking for it in the wrong place. I get back to you. How do I know it's the wrong place? Because I'm not finding it. You want to be loved. You want to have right relationships. Whatever you want. Right job, right career. It is, hey, you can have it, but you got to stop looking for it where it's not located. It's located in your mind first. And what's so cool about what we do here every class is that we reinforce the ideas that we'd like to see manifest now. Because we don't hear stuff like this every day in the world, usually.
Sure.
So this is a very sacred time. It's a time where we tune into the part of us that loves us, and we let it tell us, look, I have promised that you will find, and under my guidance, you can't be defeated. I remember where you want is, what you want is located, even though you have forgotten. I'm going to fulfill the mission of bringing your happiness to you because I was created to bring your happiness to you. And not only that, as I teach you that your mission is the same as mine. Your mission is to never forget how loving you are and never forget that you deserve to be loved.
Miracles are seen in the light.
I'm telling you. He says, your mission is the same as my mission. My mission is to show you that you're totally, completely sane, innocent, and wonderful, and beautiful, and that you don't deserve to be attacked. And I'm going to show you that by not attacking you. So I'm extending the Holy Spirit's mission by treating you all the exact same way the Holy Spirit has treated me.
Cool.
Okay? There's just a few people that I need to work on. right? But out of billions of people on the planet, for me to be down to less than 10, I'm quite proud.
I think you need to pat yourself on the back.
There's a lot more people that you're letting be than the ones that you're messing with. Be proud of that. I used to think, first I had to work on you and then work it out to the world. Like, work on you, the person that's closest, and then work it on out to the world. Then my right mind said, you're looking at it backwards, the way you always do when you're unhappy. Flip it around. The reason why it's all these other people that you're not upset with personally is that you've already dealt with all your situations, karma, beliefs, whatever you want to think about that. That's already been handled. You are down to the last few people that you need to just leave alone. And let them be. They were not born to act out your fantasies. That wasn't why they were put on this earth. But the person who will act out your fantasies naturally, because that's the way they naturally are, will be sent to you. And then they're just being themselves, but it's everything you want. So it's a good deal. You're not manipulating anybody, but you're still receiving what you want.
Cool.
Now here's the problem. Because the problem is, no, here we go. There must be a problem if you have that. Okay, so it got to be something you have it, all right? I'm sorry about that. Okay. You need, and I need, remember, I'm always talking about me too. We need correct response training. He said, that's what we need. I can send it to you, but if you don't know how to recognize it when it shows up, you won't let yourself have it. And let's face it, you must have a slight recognition of what's best for you problem to be so unhappy about some things. So why don't you just admit you have a recognition problem? You're not guilty, you're not bad, you're not sinful, you just have a slight recognition problem. You don't always recognize what's best for you, right?
Right.
You do not perceive your own best interest all the time, right?
Right.
Right. Admit that to yourself. I do not perceive my own best interest. Some of y'all felt a relaxation behind that. Because I don't know is what opens up the dough. You hear me? I don't know. That gives me all possibilities. Because I don't know. So it can come to me from anywhere. I don't know. But your higher self, the Holy Spirit, does know. It knows exactly where the joy and the fulfillment that you want is located. It's located in your own mind. So your higher self is going to locate what you want in your own mind so that you can recognize it. And the minute you recognize it, guess what? You see it.
Oh, wow.
I recognize the microphone. Guess what? At the same time, I am seeing the microphone. And recognition is guaranteed. You cannot fail. Do you know why the Course says you can't fail? Because none of the success of it depends on you. I'll talk to y'all next time. All right, can we acknowledge ourselves for you today? For being such two open-minded people. And now, a word from our sponsor. A special note of gratitude to all of you for sharing with me. I appreciate that. Course of Miracles is how I live in the world, how Holy Spirit takes care of me. I want to trust. I want to say, can you do what you really want to do, God, every day, and be able to be taken care of and give a service? And do what you love, and that's exactly what you're seeing standing before you. As a person who lives off of teaching something as unusual as A Course in Miracles on a love offering basis, that takes a little bit of trust, don't you think? Okay, so you know that there must be something taking care of me because I'm being taken care of. And the same thing is true for you. Start out by trying to do what you love. What do you love? What do you want to do in your heart? So I want to thank you so much, because I'm just trusting, and I love trusting you. If you want a copy of any class, I record them and make them available for $5 a copy prepaid. If you want one, you just come up front and put your name, phone number, the date of the class, then I make the CD and I bring it back the following class. This was sort of like an all-purpose class today. That the answers that Spirit gave us today would be really good to hear when you're most upset and most afraid, and feeling, especially if you're feeling depressed about something. Because that's pretty much assuring that right now you're looking for something where it's not located. And the other thing I loved about today's lesson was that there was a part of me that loved me that would give it to me even when I thought I didn't deserve it. So it doesn't seem like I just gotta always just work on my thinking every single second else I'm gonna blow up. You know what I'm saying? Because that can get nerve wracking too. Oh my God, I just gotta think positive about that. I can't think that. Oh my God. You know, that'll drive you crazy too. You know, your willingness to change your mind is just symbolic of your willingness to be healed. And the Course says all the universe needs is some symbolism of your willingness to be healed.
Wow.
You know, you're taking that medicine as a symbol of your willingness to be healed, not that you necessarily think the medicine is what's healing you. So don't ever feel self-conscious about the physical things you do in the world to help yourself and you're on the spiritual path. Those things are just symbolic. You go to that seminar, that's symbolic. You know, you go to that workshop, that's symbolic, and that's good. You need to do physical symbolisms to show that you're willing to have the state of consciousness that you want.
Woo!
Okay, you with me?
Yeah!
You with me?
I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you I'm with you.
And I'm available for one-on-one personal sessions. And I've also been an astrologer and a numerologist for 30 years, actually. So, there are many ways to get information. Would you take a second, and this, I'm going to be speaking next Sunday morning at 11 o'clock as well as the 1 o'clock service. And then there's a credible prosperity class that the minister David Seibert does here at 7 o'clock on Wednesday nights. And then my next class is 12 noon on Wednesday, and then 7 p.m. on Thursday. And I'm going through chapter 12. So if you got the book, keep going through chapter 12 with me. Okay? So I'm going to finish this up with a little recap and a little energy, because we're getting ready to go back out in the lamp.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
Oh,
a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Won't you be mine?
You know. So, any comment, any question that I can answer in a minute that anybody has? Just any comment you'd like to make?
If you get any hotter, you want to...
Thank you for your correct perception of me. I am hot, aren't I? Now, some people go, that's egotistical. See, they're the ones you want to stay away from you. That's why you said that. You know what I'm saying? Some people go, that's egotistical. See? Yeah, some people go, wow, that's great. I appreciate somebody that values themselves. I want to be around somebody like that. See, you can't weed them out if you're not yourself. You can't weed them out if you hide.
Yeah.
You never know who can accept you for who you are if nobody ever sees who you are.
Mm-hmm. Real quick, I made a phone call to a friend. And I said, my God, do I do all the calling? I mean, I said, do you ever pick up the phone? What's the message here? And my ego's telling her ass off, okay? You know what she said?
What?
All I know is, Judy, I love you. Brought me to my knees, dropped my damn cell phone. Mm-hmm. You know, really.
Well, that'll show you.
And you know what I said? I'll keep calling.
Is that what you want is going to come to you, but we're being taught how to recognize it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You will undertake a journey because you're not at home here. You will undertake a journey because you're not at home. You will search for your home, whether you realize where it is or not. But if you look outside yourself, you are looking where it's not located. When you look like this. It goes, seek and I will find. So now you're on a road that goes, seek and I will find. But the first thing you need to recognize is that the part of you that loves you, you will succeed as long as you really stop paying attention to the part of you that knows the truth. There's a part of you that knows the truth and is expressing the truth and is just living the truth, but you don't know it. That part of you that loves you is creating incredibly wonderful things for you that you do not even know about. There is a part of you that loves you that is creating wonderful things for you that you do not even know about. It's going to give it to you. It's going to set before you that which you want, and it's going to give it to you. So how do you receive it? How do you receive it? Well, the first thing you want to do is recognize that you don't know how to recognize what you want when it shows up. And you want to work on correct response training. You need correct response training. The Course in Miracles is a form of correct response training. It will teach you how to recognize when what you want has arrived so you can take advantage of it and let it in. Because it's surrounding you. Don't look for the microphone of happiness in the notebook. Stop looking for the microphone of happiness in the notebook. You can be shown where your happiness is located. You can be shown where what you want is located. You can be shown where what you want is located. You can be shown where what you want is located. So what we're going to do is we're going to say out loud, those who feel like it, for about 30 seconds. Say it outside. You'll say it with some feeling if you can. So I bless the world because I bless myself. 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 Tell someone you bless the world because you bless yourself. You bless the world because you bless yourself. Can we acknowledge ourselves?
Oh, yeah.
Are available. See you next time.